Dogs got to bark, mules got to bray, soldiers must fight, and preachers must pray, and children, I guess, must get their own way the minute that you say no. Why did the kids pour jam on the cat? Raspberry jam all over the cat. Why should the kids do something like that when all that we said was no? My son was once afraid to swim. The water made him wince until I said he mustn't swim. Been swimming ever since. Been swimming ever since. Dogs got to bark, mules got to bray, soldiers must fight, and preachers must pray, and children, I guess, must get their own way the minute that you say no. Why did the kids put beans in their ears? No one can hear with beans in their ears. After a while, the reason appears. They did it 'cause we said no. Your daughter brings a young man in, says, do you like him, Pa? Just say that he's a fool, and then you've got a son-in-law. You've got a son-in-law. Sure as the June comes right after May, sure as the night comes right after day, you can be sure the devil's to pay the minute that you say no. Make sure you never say no. Now, of course, if you look at the crop of presidential candidates, you might wish somebody had said no. Just saying. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's listener-supported radio, and they deserve your support. I just heard today they're running a special fundraiser. For a $50 donation, they will send you a half pound of Mom's Famous Chocolate Fudge. You're supposed to tell them that's what you want in the buyer's message. And there's a special kind with local bourbon-soaked cashews. But you have to shell out $60 to get that kind. Stuff sounds really good, though. And it's a really good cause. It's time now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome special guests Sherwood Ross, Frank Cordero, Ava Bird, Mickey Zezima, and Phil Ferruggio. And so tonight we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in northern Minnesota, in Port Orange, Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Coral Gables, Florida, in Southern California, in Des Moines, in Astoria, Queens, New York City, and wherever you are. This should be read before every CNN, Fox, NPR, ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS broadcast. We're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, judiciously as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities which you can study too, and that's how things will sort out. We are history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do. Karl Rove. Operation Gladio, Operation Northwoods, 9/11, Boston, Sandy Hook, Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, Dallas, San Bernardino, etc., etc., etc. My recommendations on YouTube, Truth Stream Media, a particular segment that's called Every Week Gets More Orwellian. Go see it. Also, Is It Morally Wrong to Seek Sasquatch? A presentation by Christopher Noel on YouTube. The Gary Null Show, N-U-L-L, interview with William Pepper regarding Pepper's book, The Plot to Kill King. It's the June 21st show. No Lies Radio, Kevin Barrett interviews William Pepper regarding the plot to kill King. Also, Debbie Lusignan, Lusignan, broadcasting on the same progressive channel on YouTube, entitled Bernie Sanders, Silence on Election Fraud and Abuse of Convention Delegates is Deafening. Also, Truth Stream Media, Trump, the election will be rigged. Go see it.
Of course. Well, yes. Yes, of course. We support our troops. Support our darn troops. Support our wonderful troops. Support our troops. Our troops serving overseas. Our troops. ISIS. Made in the USA by the CIA. The kids in the morning, of course, recite the Pledge of Allegiance. We pledge allegiance to ISIS, made and paid for by the CIA, in order to generate false terror, in order to scare people into the arms of the government and the military, just like the commies and reds and all that other crap. So help me, goddammit. Flying monkeys whoosh over the ball game, and everyone stands and sings and salutes and cheers. We got yellow ISIS ribbons tied to our car antennas, the trees in the front yard, showing our never-ending support for our troops. ISIS, made in the USA for it by the CIA. The time and temperature sign at the bank says we support our troops. Our troops, ISIS, made in the USA by the CIA. An ISIS member speaks at church on Sunday. Our troops, ISIS, made in the USA by the CIA. We support the troops. ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, the Islamic State. We spell it CIA every time. Can't keep up. Can't figure it out. What the hell is happening? Police shootings, false terror events. Well, maybe you should just say F it and join in the fun. It's exciting and patriotic. The CIA is getting bored trying to fool the American people. It's too easy. People are starting to lose interest. So fly the flag from your front porch, eat apple pie, and play the new game sponsored by the CIA, the FBI, U.S. Army Intelligence, Kellogg's Corn Flakes, and Mr. Clean Toilet Bowl Liquid. Figure out the location of the next big exciting shooting. Join in on the fun. Everyone's doing it. Play false flag terror hoax. Go. Download it onto your smartphone now. And now, for another episode of the award-winning daytime soap opera with the same characters we recognize from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, This Should Burn. Sponsored by the good folks at Fahrenheit 451, the no-nonsense soap that gets out all those bloody stains. Fahrenheit 451, the temperature at which blood stains and democracy boil. A flame flaming, ignited, inflamed, flaring, aglow, broiling, hot, red hot. It's your country, your town, your neighborhood on fire. You can hear the Leave It to Beaver music in the background as your front yard is roasting, scorching, searing, sizzling. And now This Should Burn. We see Bernie and Hillary and Bill, Jill and Donald and B.O. and Michelle all sitting in the waiting room of Mayberry General Hospital. We hear Donald say, "Doesn't Chelsea look like Walter Hubble?" And Bernie says, "They peed on my effing election." "They peed on your effing election," says Jill Stein. "They peed on my effing election." "How much are you bench pressing these days, Michelle?" says Donald. And then Dr. Vlad Putin strides in, carrying a body in his arms and another over his shoulder. He silently lays them at the feet of Bill and Hillary, and then, a whole bunch of people start heading out of the ER swinging doors. Dr. Putin walks over to B.O. And these people are alive. There's nothing wrong with them. Oh, says Bill. On the TV up in the corner, George W. is on the Ellen Show. They're both doing the latest craze, funeral dancing, now sweeping the nation. It's all crumbling. It's all falling down, and maybe that's a good thing. This should burn.
Our first guest of the evening is Abba Bird. Abba Bird is a poet and activist living in Southern California. She was one of our first guests back in 2011, and we're glad that we're able to have Abba on the show every month. And Chuck is going to get Abba on the phone right about now.
Hi, Chuck and Mike.
Well, hello, Abba. Welcome to the show, and you're on the air.
Great, and happy, happy summer. I've been excited to talk to you guys.
All right.
So what I'll do this week is, or this month, is continue where I left off last month, reading the article about the deep trenches, stories from the deep trenches of the drug war, and how the drug war has destroyed a lot of people's lives. So when we celebrate Independence Day, this goes back to just say no. In 1986, Nancy Reagan told us to just say no to drugs. While she was telling us not to do drugs, her husband and President Ronald Reagan was making illegal deals to fund illegal wars, which brought those same drugs into our inner cities. The Iran-Contra scandal involved Reagan illegally selling arms to Iran, despite an embargo on arms to Iran, in exchange for payments. This money went to fund the Nicaraguan Contra rebel fighters to embark in a guerrilla war against the Sandinista government of Nicaragua. The Sandinista government was democratically elected, which overtook a 40-year-old Somoza dictatorship. The Sandinista government implemented welfare, health, education, and housing reforms. Peasants were granted access to land to help socioeconomic growth. Citizens were given freedom of speech, assembly, council, and religion. They also looked to nationalize many U.S. corporations and give resources back to their people, most notably the United Fruit Company, a subsidiary of the W.R. Grace Company, a major supporter of the Reagan administration. Since this cost corporations and investors money, they deemed that Nicaragua were communists and we needed to protect them from this evil regime. The CIA went to extreme efforts, including getting involved in the illegal drug trade of cocaine from the Contras. They shipped crack cocaine into the major cities as payments for fighting the guerrilla war against the Nicaraguan government. The drugs hit the streets and crack was in all the major cities in the 1980s. The media told us the dangers of crack, and people agreed a problem had to be made by locking up anyone who uses it. The Anti-Drug Act of 1986 told us because crack is so much more powerful than powder cocaine that the sentencing must also be more severe. The law stated that if you had 100 times less crack than powder cocaine, you received similar sentences. For example, if you possessed 5 grams of crack, you faced a mandatory of 5 years in prison. You would need 500 grams of powder cocaine for the same sentence. Former LA police officer addressed this with CI Director John Deutsch in a 1996 town hall meeting by stating the following. I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time. This was followed by an uproar and applause from the local residents in attendance, which had to be literally silenced before he was allowed to continue. Director Deutsch, I refer you to 3 specific agency operations known as Amadeus, Pegasus, and Watchtower. I have Watchtower documents, heavily redacted by the agency. I was personally exposed to CIA operations and recruited by CIA personnel who attempted to recruit me in the late 70s to become involved in protecting agency drug operations in this country. I have been trying to get this out for 18 years, and I have the evidence. My question for you is very specific, sir. If in the course of the IG's investigation, you come across evidence of severely criminal activity and it's classified, will you use that classification to hide the criminal activity, or will you tell the American people the truth? After another large applause and interruption, CIA Director John Deutsch responded, if you have information about CIA illegal activity in drugs, you should immediately bring that information to wherever you want, but let me suggest three places. The Los Angeles Police Department, interrupted by laughter from the residents, the Inspector General, or the office of one of your congresspersons from this. After Congressman Julian Dixon addresses the situation, Rupert responds with one final blow. I did bring this information out 18 years ago, and I got shot at and forced out of the LAPD because of it. I've been on the road for 18 years nonstop, and I'll be happy to give you, Congressman, anything that I have. Bad guys go to jail. The statistics will tell you about 75% of women in jail have been abused. That number is wrong. The number is 100%. I have worked in jails and in the system for over 18 years now, and I have read thousands of charts. None of them has a case in which the patient inmate was not the victim of some sort of trauma. Studies have lower numbers because the patient inmate may not report past trauma. That does not mean that it did not occur. Either it has been repressed or they do not risk to share due to shame, guilt, or embarrassment. The hippocampus shuts down during trauma, helping us to forget the actual event. The effects on the brain linger. The neurochemistry of the event has affected us for a lifetime, exposing us to the much higher likelihood of addiction. Harry Harlow conducted a series of experiments in 1958 with infant rhesus monkeys and a set of surrogate mothers. Two main types of mothers were used, a wire model containing a bottle to feed the monkey and a terry cloth model. Out of these results, it was shown that if an infant does not bond with a caregiver early in life, that they are more likely to suffer from all sorts of ailments. Early attachment to the mother or caregiver is essential for normal development. When we see someone with addiction, mental health issues, we cannot assume that they are bad and lock them up. Everyone has a story. We cannot look at behavior, but we must look beyond the mask. At first glance, you see the woman's rap sheet. She has 8 felonies, all of which were drug offenses. Most say, lock them up and throw away the key. That has been what we've been doing for centuries, and for centuries, this world has been going downhill. We have less crime, but a higher prison population. So there's one problem with this philosophy. It does not work. It has the opposite effect. We are locking up some of our most gifted, intelligent, sensitive people and forgetting about them. Instead, we should be taking off their mask, getting to know them, rehabilitating them so they can have a positive impact on society. If they are rehabilitated, then they don't return to prison. It is what society needs, but corporations fear. A prisoner's tale, stages of development. We have an infant born free and pure and not sure how the world works. She is learning to crawl and walk and explore. She is free, but she does not get as much hugs or kisses and emotional connection as other infants. Her parents are always fighting and screaming at each other. This is an important stage of life in which she has now learned the world is an unsafe place. Her day consists of lying in her crib alone and crying for love, in which she is only fed and changed and otherwise lacks any connection. She is more of a nuisance than a child. Her mother did not want children, but did so to please others. Should we lock this infant up in jail? Now she is a toddler at 2 or 3. She is trying to gain control over her motor skills like the other kids, but she is unsure about herself and afraid of the world at this point. She stumbles and falls, but she is afraid to ask for help. She is unsure about who to go to when she is sad or needs help and does not know if she is doing things correctly, as there is no guidance. The chemicals in her brain have now changed and are different than that of other children. She is hypervigilant, always looking over her shoulder, and startles easily. Her brain is moving at a faster pace, and she is always in survival mode. should we lock her up now and make money off her being locked up? In school, she struggles more than the other kids. She is unsure of herself and does not interact well with her peers or adults. She is bullied throughout her day and isolates even more. Although she does well in many aspects of life, her self-esteem is destroyed. Her view of the world has been shaped since the time she was born to look at it through a cloudy lens. Eventually, she finds a group much like herself, and they get along because they understand her. They are the kindest, loving, and most gentle kids around, but they are the minority and are teased as a group. They are told they are losers, they fail out of school, and usually find themselves in trouble. After school, their parents are not around as much, and they do not have supervision. So early as 10 or 11, they begin to drink and smoke pot. It frees them. They feel free, like when they were infants for the first time in their lives. They are happy and feel at peace. So this becomes a daily habit. They do worse in school, get in more trouble at home and in school, but they get high and drunk daily. It gives them the freedom and peace that others have. Should we lock these kids up now? There were times at parties in which older men have made their way into her room and touched her. She tries to tell her parents and teachers, but they tell her she's a bad kid and she should not make up lies just to get attention. These patterns continue, and again, she is the bad one and learns that to be good is to be quiet and give in to these older men. In her adolescent years, she begins drinking and getting high daily, but now it is a more means of coping with life rather than feeling free. The older guys she hangs out with provide her drugs and alcohol and abuse her physically, emotionally, and sexually. But she learns that if she has sex with them, they begin to treat her kindly. This reinforces that she is a sex object, and in order to get love, she must give sex. Is this fair? Does she deserve to be locked up at this point? At age 16, she meets an 18-year-old that comes from a rough environment as well. They bond right away and attach to each other immediately, spending every minute of every day together. They love each other, but neither of them knows how to love, leading to jealousy, anger, and insecurity. 3 months later, she becomes pregnant. Their passion then turns on them, and they begin fighting with hateful verbal assaults. After the child is born, she has had enough, and eventually she leaves him. Now she is a 17-year-old single mother, alone with a life of abuse and being used for sex. Should we lock her up? She goes back to the child's father, and it only lasts a few months. It ends with her finally snapping and holding a knife to his throat. She has had enough of life. She moves to Florida with her mother. She meets a new man and tells the child that this is her father. She gets a job, has a new life and home, and things are finally going well. She starts to drink and use again to numb out the pain until finally one night she sneaks out of the house and leaves for good. Should we lock her up now? A few years later, she is working as a bartender and meets another man. She moves in with him and his kids, and one day he asks her to try meth. She tries it, and it's the most wonderful feeling in the world. She feels this sudden sense of peaceful euphoria in which all the pain, abuse, and trauma is gone. She has that feeling of being alive and well once again. Because of this feeling, she starts using more often, always chasing after that feeling of peace and love. She leaves this guy and gets her own place with her daughter and finally has peace of mind. Should we lock her up now? But as her tolerance grows, she needs more money to keep bringing about this peaceful feeling by means of using meth. Along the way, she is introduced to injecting the drug directly into her veins, which creates a much more intense high. In the meantime, her daughter is being neglected and left for days in a stranger's house. This little girl is now all alone.
We're out of time, but thank you so much. That was really good.
Thanks again. Happy summer.
Revolution Radio. Sherwoodross.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big-ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you had
come on.
Trouble.
My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Hello, hey, how are you? This is Andy Rooney. Don't you people ever wonder? These 28 pages, some say 29, but it's 28, get real. Yes, it's really Israel. But if the ruse is going to be Saudi Arabia, why bomb the crap out of Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria for years? Could it possibly be it's because they are enemies of Israel? 9/11, rich persons who control everything, elections, media, government, military. Can we just say Jews? It's time to ask, did the Holocaust happen as we've been told it did? Of course, we're not supposed to say this, or we are right-wing wacko-nuts. But so, yeah, really, actually, don't you people ever wonder?
And now, a word from the American Language Council, doing our best to combat inexactitude and shallowness. One, untoughness, being tough. It's time for the NFL. Training camps have opened up, and it's getting exciting. The Vikings have a good team and a new stadium, and the sports talk stations are in Mankato for a training camp, and it's fun. It's a diversion. We'd all like to be tough like an NFL linebacker, right? The NFL, military, cops, they're tough. Tough. What is tough? Bradley or Chelsea Manning? How about that? Is that tough? Going against all that everyone tells you you should do in order to tell the truth about our military killing people for fun? How tough would it be to not pay taxes? Not sign up for military? To hold a sign in your hometown where everybody knows you? That's tough. You're not going to find even one NFL player in any of those third and long yardage situations this year. They're not tough enough, it seems. A word from the American Language Council. Doing our best to combat inexactitude and shallowness. Come on, get with it, people.
Our next guest of the evening is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero is a member of the Des Moines Catholic Worker. He's a former Catholic priest, and he has spent over 6 years in federal prison for various actions in protest of the U.S. military machine.
Well, I want to talk about our latest effort that our folks at the Bob Cook Catholic Worker abolished prison house. Collective, under the auspices of the Des Moines Workers Alliance and the Des Moines Catholic Worker, they organized a press conference yesterday, Wednesday the 3rd, with the family and friends of Terrence Sales. And they were rallying outside of the Department of Corrections here. And the rally was in response to repeated incidents of brutality against Terrence and other offenders at the hands of the Iowa State Penitentiary prison guards, with the support of the State Penitentiary Administration in Fort Madison, Iowa, reads their press release and what they spoke of. Then they went on to say, just recently, Terrence was involved in a situation where he was asking for medical care, and the correctional officers responded was to mace Terrence through the bars of the cell and proceed to physically assault Terrence, and at one point, forcing his head into the toilet of the cell. Terrence is one of many offenders in isolation who have complained to us about blatant human rights violations. And the press release says this has to end now. And at the rally, they asked for three things. They demanded access to adequate medical care as required by the law for everybody in a disciplinary lockdown. We demand an immediate review of Terrence's case by an impartial source, which can include the ombudsman. And number three, we demand an investigation into human rights abuses committed against those in administrative segregation at Iowa State Penitentiary. This rally was so effective we knew ahead of time that Terrence had already been moved to the medical unit out of Fort Madison, out of the disciplinary thing to Oakdale. He's on a fast track to get his case heard. So just by our bringing to surface this human rights issue, and Terrence is not the only one. There's been systematic brutality, and it's nothing uncommon. We're just showing a light on it, and I'm tickled pink because one of the young Catholic workers that's taken the lead on this is Jack Petch. Jack is like in his 20s. He was raised here at the Catholic Worker from 10 on, and he got himself in trouble. Not good stuff. And instead of going to college, Jack went to Iowa Penitentiary for 4.5 years. He's out now for a couple of years, and he's been with us. He's the best Catholic Worker his age, hands down. And his whole life is to live to organize inmates, ex-cons, families of inmates. Since it's an extraordinary big minority of people who have no voice, and there are 2 million of them locked up, people, and they have families. There's got to be millions of people out there that are ready to organize and change the prison system from the inside out. Right now they're working on this, the mandatory, what are the corrections, their disciplinary, unit, which of course means solitary confinement. This kid, had a year in solitary confinement, before we, shone the light on them. I really can't help but remember, and I went to our archive. We were dealing with this issue at the Marion prison back in 1979 and 1980. Marion prison at that time in Southern Illinois was the maximum security joint for the federal system. It took the place of Alcatraz. And they were having prison uprisings there, and they were in the midst of like 2 or 3 years straight, complete lockdown of 500 people, 24/7. 30 minutes out. They never saw anybody. And of course, by the time you get into a long campaign, it went right up to the Supreme Court to say, this is inhuman. And I remember going down as a Catholic worker and working with Bishop Dingman to get clergy people into this prison that was in a complete lockdown, and organizing. And when the Supreme Court said it was legal to have indefinite solitary confinement, and every goddamn state joint, county prison, hell hole jail was licensed to put people in holes indefinitely. And the arc of the U.S. acceptance of torture can be marked there in this culture, because all of the victories we won during the Vietnam War on just wars and what we can and can't do, blah, 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 totally forgotten. And now we're dealing with it again, indefinite solitary confinement. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Prisons have gotten worse of it.
Well, Frank, that is crazy. Thank you for sharing that. And, well, we're out of time, so talk to you next week.
All right, Chuck, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our next guest of the evening is Sherwood Ross. Sherwood Ross has worked as a reporter for the Chicago Daily News and workplace columnist for Reuters. He's also been a media consultant to colleges, law schools, labor unions, and to the editors of more than 100 national magazines, a civil rights activist. He was news director for the National Urban League, a talk show host at WOL Radio Washington, D.C., and holds an award for best spot news coverage for Chicago radio stations for civil rights reporting. He's the author of Gruning of Alaska and several plays about Japan during World War II, including Bear and Hero and Yamamoto's Decision, read at the National Press Club, where he is a member. His favorite quotations are from the Sermon on the Mount. And we will be talking to Sherwood in Coral Gables right about now.
Please leave your message for 305-205-8281.
Mike, I've been having trouble getting hold of Sherwood all day, and I think he's not going to make it tonight. I hope that you have something ready.
Well, I was wondering about that. You said that, and I was going to ask you, do you want to say anything more about your father's book that you're publishing? Do you have anything you'd like to talk about in that book?
Well, sure. Hang on just a sec.
Chuck is publishing a book with his company, CWG Press. His father was a high school theater teacher. I think it was in Cincinnati. I'm not sure, but he'll tell us about that. And Chuck is publishing a book, and we talked about it a little bit last week. But since we have some time here, I think it'd be good if we would hear a little more about the book Chuck is producing about his father's career.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Yep.
The book is called From a Member of the Audience. And my dad created this. It's his vignettes from a period of 50 years watching theater. And I'm going to read the preface to you. The vignettes which follow are divided into two parts. Part one includes those actors and actresses who are no longer living and those who are in retirement. Part two, those who are still very much with us. The writing's been done over a period of several years, and therefore some of the dates which were accurate, say, in 1965, will not be accurate today in 1971. And actually, Dad kept writing this until his death in 1984. And of course, now we're well into the 2000s. So, yeah, the dates, you know, may not be very accurate, but...
Hey, Chuck,
yeah.
Your father, his name was?
His name was Wayne L. Gregory, and for 37 years, he taught at Walnut Hills High School in Cincinnati, Ohio. And for that entire time, he directed two plays every year, as well as teaching speech and drama. And, it was one of the earliest schools in the country that took, had a college prep program. You know, that whole time he was there, it was all a college preparatory school. They call them magnet schools now, I think. Anyway, it's,
And was he writing this the whole time? Is there a narrative to go with the scripts?
Yes. Well, it's not scripts, Mike. It's vignettes about various actors and actresses. There's a page about, and these are all people that he saw. Here's one, for example. Why don't I try one of those? Maybe that would be more interesting.
One more question before you do that. Was he right? Did you guys ever talk, visit to get about, plans for this book or did you find it somewhere?
This was his project for 20 years. He typed every word, and he worked he collected all the playbills from all the plays he had seen over the entire 50 years, and he went back through them, and he had a great memory for the people that had been in them and what else was happening at the time. Let me give you a sample.
Okay.
Here's somebody you've heard of. I first saw Fanny Bryce in the Ziegfeld Follies of 1919, on New Year's Eve 1919, at the Colonial Theater in Chicago. Three moments come back to me in my memory. First was her singing of Secondhand Rose, with all of the verb of the early ragtime songs. It was catchy and full of rhythm. Second, there was a skit, a burlesque of Camille, which she played with W.C. Fields and Raymond Hitchcock. It was a complete riot, and I've never forgotten her emoting and the delicious satire. Third was in the second half of the show when she sang My Man, leaning against a lamppost. This memory is a cherished one. This was perhaps the most famous moment of her career, and the one that everyone remembers if they were fortunate enough to have heard her sing it. It is a haunting song, and no one else has been able to sing it in quite the same way, with its pathos and its simplicity. It was 15 years before I saw Miss Bryce again. This was in the Ziegfeld Follies of 1934. It was in November of 1934 that I saw it at the Schubert Theater in Cincinnati. This was after Mr. Ziegfeld's death, and the show was produced by Billy Burke. It was a far cry from the other Follies, but it did have its moments. Two songs come back, Soul Saving Sadie and Sarah the Sunshine Girl. Then, too, it included the skit of Baby Snooks, which he had done for several years over the radio. This was perhaps the highlight of the show. It also included a very funny ballet scene with Miss Bryce as a ballerina. From my own standpoint, this was the hit of the show. Miss Bryce was a great comedienne, and she possessed great personal appeal. So this entire book is filled with 1- and 2-page vignettes similar to that about amazing number and variety of actors and actresses, some of whom, you know, we still know of to this day. And
Are these actors and actresses, they're high school students or no?
No, he taught theater, but he went to theater. He loved theater. And so he attended theater all the time, everywhere that he lived, from Peoria, where he grew up, to Chicago, to Cincinnati, to Fort Lauderdale. And over the last years of his life, he made annual trips to London so that he could see what was going on in the theater over there, and he would go to about 6 or 7 shows on every trip.
Wow. Do you have any memories of helping out or being, you know, in the seats and watching while he was doing his plays? Or?
Well, I was actually... I was in a couple of them as, because sometimes, even though they were high school productions, they would need, somebody younger, and so he'd pull me in to be in a crowd scene. I remember being in, Tea House of the August Moon. I don't remember what else I was in. It was always just crowd scenes, you know, but it was a big event for me to, you know, I got to get the whole makeup treatment, just like all the real actors and actresses, right? And, and that was a big deal because the guy that he had to do makeup there, who was also the swimming coach, he was a pro. I mean, we're talking full theatrical makeup, you know, that real thick, you know, grease paint stuff. It was amazing. I mean, so being a little kid, that was just really something.
How far along are you, Chuck? When will it be ready?
It's available right now on Amazon. It's called From a Member of the Audience by Wayne L. Gregory. And you can find it, I think it's $16.95. You can also buy it, at CreateSpace but Amazon's the easiest place to find it.
Well, it must have been fun to do that. I didn't quite hear you before. Did you collaborate with him, or did you find this in a drawer somewhere, or?
It was one of the things left to me when my mom died, when I was going through, and I said, oh, this is great. I'm going to have to publish it someday, and I put it away for a couple more years. And then a while back, earlier this year, I thought, well, you know, I really want to do something with this, and so I have.
And what high school was he at again?
It was Walnut Hills High School in Cincinnati, Ohio. He taught there for 37 years. And
wow. Did he retire from there?
Yeah, he retired from there. He planned on staying there for 40 years and retiring in the same year that he and my mom would have their one of the big wedding anniversaries, and I would graduate high school, but that didn't quite work out.
Okay. Well, nice going on, and I'm glad you did. It's really cool.
Fries, I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you're
having
trouble.
Come on.
I'm
my kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What are we doing live?
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good evening, Working Stiffs. This is something you might be interested in. Dancing with the Beast, after what's happening in this country with these political conventions. You know, on May 9, 1970, in the pre-dawn hours, President Richard Nixon decided to visit students protesting the Vietnam War at the Lincoln Memorial with his butler in hand. Now, tens of thousands of anti-war protesters were camped out that night in conjunction with an anti-war movement that today's anti-war folks could really learn from. Nixon obviously was haunted by the fervor of this ever-steady mindset that became a blight upon his administration. A troubled president walked amongst the students in the memorial, doing his best PR by offering conversation on the easiest topic for him, football. "Where do you go to school?" he asked one student, who replied, "Syracuse." "Oh," Nixon offered, "great football program. Too bad that star running back, what was his name? Ernie Davis, had to die so young." And on he went. Then a young woman, perhaps 19, challenged him with, "Why don't you just stop the war?" Nixon began to offer a soliloquy as to how difficult it is to just stop it. He then made the famous reference to the system, comparing it to a beast. And the young student interrupted Nixon with an equally famous line, "You can't stop it even if you wanted to." Before his handlers rushed into the memorial to quickly spirit him out, Richard Nixon was in the middle of doing his best to explain just how difficult it is, to paraphrase, "dance with the beast." Now, this is what we have become in this nation of ours, dancers with the beast of empire. Our politicians and mainstream media lead the way to influence a normally compliant and apathetic public. Sadly, most of us are so addicted to the narcotic of consumerism that we have no time to actually study the facts. This empire diverts and subverts us from truth each and every day. Now take the Flint water crisis, which once again is back in the mainstream news, or only for a politicized reason. The blame game by this two-party con job makes great theater, but fails to even come near to the truth. Yes, the government officials who oversaw the crisis failed. Yet what really was the reprehensible hidden cause of Flint having lousy water pipes and polluted drinking water? Well, in the old days, our federal government would send a percentage of taxes collected from the cities and states back to those places in the form of revenue sharing, a.k.a. block grants. This money could be used by local municipalities for things like replacing faulty water pipes and purchasing healthy drinking water. No mas. You see, when over 50% of our federal tax money goes for military spending, replete with the phony wars and occupations and overkill weapons systems, Uncle Sam cannot send any funds to stop the bleeding. The beast of empire needs to keep bleeding us dry. Now, a sad moment for this writer was when Mr. Khazir Khan, a Muslim American father of a U.S. captain, I think he's from Pakistan originally, his son was killed in Iraq, addressed the Democratic Convention. The mainstream media and even the Democratic Party-controlled alternative media reported that not a dry eye could be seen after he spoke. Well, Mr. Khan, anyone who hears that a father and mother lose their son, especially in a war zone, or actually a zone of illegal and immoral U.S. occupation, one has to feel empathy, and this writer does. However, Mr. Khan, you are being used by the beast of empire that controls both of these corrupt and disgraceful political parties. You were going on, and rightfully so, about the hideous nature of Mr. Trump and what he stands for. Yet, not one thought as to the woman who your address was aiding and abetting. You see, Mr. Khan, Hillary Clinton, as where she's known, is called that for justifiable reasons. She voted to support the Bush gang going into Iraq. She said and did nothing while millions of us throughout the world protested that illegal and immoral attack and occupation of Iraq, a place where the son you love so much had no business being sent to. Perhaps if you were a Muslim, let us say Libyan ancestry, and had family there in 2011 or even now, what if they, like your son, were killed by either our carpet bombing or in the aftermath of the chaos now engulfing Libya? On Thursday evening, you would be blasting Hillary Clinton and not helping to get her elected. Your rightful place to give such an address, Mr. Khan, would be at the upcoming Green Party convention. Food for thought, sir. Folks, the beast of empire that Nixon alluded to in 1970 is still alive and more powerful than ever. It hides within the breast of a controlled government and media. To paraphrase the old adage, Its finest trick is to persuade you that it does not exist. Thank you.
That was Phil Ferrugio with It's the Empire, Stupid.
The great city crawls with people, some smartly dressed, many of them shabby, a few beautiful but most not, all reduced by the towering structures around them, but scuttling, hurrying, intent in the milky morning sun upon some plan or scheme or hope they're hugging to themselves their reason for living another day, each impaled live upon a pin of consciousness, fixed upon self-advancement and self-preservation, that and only that. I want to stand as close to the edge as I can without going over. Out on the edge, you see all the kinds of things you can't see from the center. There is no reason why good cannot triumph as often as evil. The triumph of anything is a matter of organization. If there are such things as angels, I hope they are organized along the lines of the mafia. Still and all, why bother? Here's my answer. Many people need desperately to receive this message. I feel and think much as you do, care about many of the things you care about, although most people do not care about them. You are not alone. Now, for your local Earth news, this is Chuck Gregory and Mike Polacek with a review of today's news from the eye of the hurricane and the eye of the blizzard. Jill Stein's upcoming event, Saturday, August 6th, Houston, the Green Party National Convention at the University of Houston. Jill Stein invites you to join her at the Party for the Revolution as she kicks off the final phase of her momentous presidential campaign. The party will start at 7 p.m. in Houston at Central Time on Saturday, August 6th, ballroom at the University of Houston Student Center. There will be great music, inspiring speeches, and a chance to get to know Jill's vice presidential running mate.
My Fellow Americans, We Are Fools by Margot Kidder. There's something I'm going to try and explain here after watching the Democratic National Convention this evening that will invite the scorn of many of my friends. But the words are gagging my throat and my stomach is twisted and sick and I have to vomit this out. The anti-Americanism in me is about to explode and land God knows where, as my rage is well beyond reason. And I, by heritage, half-American in a way that makes me more American than almost anyone else in this country, except for the true Americans, the American Indians. I am in utter denial tonight that I am, as you are, American as well. I'm half Canadian. I was brought up there with very different values than you Americans hold. And tonight, after the endless spit-ups and boasts and rants about the greatness of American militarism and praise for American military strength and boast about wiping out ISIS and America being the strongest country on earth and an utterly inane story from a woman whose son died in Obama's war about how she got to cry in gratitude on Obama's shoulder. Tonight I feel deeply Canadian. Every subtle lesson I was ever subliminally given about the bullies across the border and their rudeness and their lack of education and their self-given right to bomb whoever they wanted in the world for no reason other than that they wanted something that people in the other country had. And their greed came oozing to the surface of my psyche. I just got back from a rather fierce walk beside the Yellowstone River here in Montana, trying to let the mountains in the distance reconnect me to some place of goodness in my soul. But I couldn't find it. The scenery was as exquisite as ever, but it just couldn't touch the rage in my heart. The visions of all the dead children in Syria that Hillary Clinton helped to kill. The children bombed to bits in Afghanistan and Pakistan from Obama's drones. The grisly chaos of Libya. The utter wasteland of Iraq. The death and destruction everywhere caused by American military intervention. The Ukraine, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, Chile, you name it. Your country has bombed or destroyed its civilian life in some basic way. when I heard all the Americans cheering for the military and the pronouncements of might coming from the speakers in the Wells Fargo Center, I loathed you. I loathed every single one of you. I knew in my gut that what I was taught as a child was true, which is that you are the enemy. You are the country to be feared. You are the country to be disgusted by. You are ignorant. And your greed and self-satisfaction and unearned pride knows no bounds. I'm not an American tonight. I reject my Puritan ancestors who landed in this country in 1648. I reject the words I voiced at my citizenship ceremony. I reject every moment of thrilling discovery I ever had in this country. You people have no idea what it is like for people from other countries to hear you boast and cheer for your guns and your bombs and your soldiers and your murderous military leaders and your war criminals and your murdering and conscienceless commander-in-chief. All those soaring words are received by the rest of us, by us non-Americans, by all the cells in our body as absolutely repugnant and obscene. And there you all are tonight, glued to your TVs and your computers, your hearts swelled with pride because you belong to the strongest country on earth, cheering your murderer president, ignorant of the entire world's repulsion. You kill and you kill and you kill. And still you remain proud. We are fools. Margot Kidder is an actress and activist in Montana.
That's all, folks. That's the news, and we are out of here. Good night and good luck, and so it goes. That's the way it is. Stay on the same page. Step up to the plate. Good to go. Take it to the next level. At the end of the day, bring something to the table. Have a good day. It is what it is. It's time to wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire. Next guest of the evening is Mickey Zesma. Mickey Z comes to us each month from Astoria, Queens, New York City. He's a poet, a writer, an activist. Chuck talked to him earlier this week or today, I'm not sure quite, but we will get that interview going right about now.
Well, can you believe it's August already, and it's time to interview Mickey Z, our activist friend from Astoria, New York. Welcome to the show, Mick.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Always great to be here.
So those conventions are finally over. What's your take on what's happened the past month or so?
Well, as with this entire past year, there's been plenty of surprises, and when you thought that the Republican convention couldn't have sunk any lower than we thought, it certainly was. It was a nightmare, and it's interesting how many high-profile Republicans chose not to be there, but Trump really continues to expose himself as the person he is and someone that needs to be stopped. As for the Democrats, they seem to pick up the patriotic mantle, and they sounded very much like Republicans. And, I think it's like they kind of co-opted that rhetoric that you would normally hear at a Republican convention, which probably will work in their favor, except perhaps with the Bernie Sanders crowd. But basically, despite all the insanity in the past month, nothing's happened nothing's changed my perception that given the two choices we have, we really need to stop a proto-fascist from getting into power, a man endorsed and supported in regular connection with white supremacists across the country.
I know, the guy is scary. However, the polling numbers seem to indicate that there might be enough supporters for Gary Johnson and or Jill Stein to be included in the debates? Do you think that that will, what do you think would be the result if that happened?
Well, let me backtrack and say that I would be utterly astonished if that happened. We've had precedents where very high-profile third-party candidates, even though he's unfortunately discredited now, Ralph Nader was a very high-profile human being, and prior to the slander against him in 2000, was considered one of the most important people of the 20th century, and he was regularly dismissed from debates. Let me just first say I'd be astonished. If they were included, it would be, from a sheer entertainment point, to have two outside candidates with Donald Trump on stage, it would be out of control, because we saw what he did when he had multiple candidates to play off of. He seems to enjoy having many people on stage and playing, pitting them against each other. You know, he's a true narcissist in that sense. So it might work for Hillary's favor, in the sense that she wouldn't be the only one singled out. If it's just her and Trump on stage, I can't even imagine yet what vile statements he'll make directly to her face one-on-one. So just to sum up, my educated guess is that they will not be included. If they are, Trump will very likely turn it into a three-ring circus.
Well, as you mentioned, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a three-ring circus anyway. But you're probably right about them not being included, but I keep hearing this magical 15% polling number as getting people entry. Now, I remember the last time around, 4 years ago, Jill Stein tried to get into the debates and ended up getting arrested for it.
Yeah. It's no surprise the way the United States is, so heavily policed and so on. And events like this, with between Secret Service and local law enforcement, it's difficult for anyone to get too close. So, I guess I look at that and just say, there are aspects of what Jill Stein talks about that I think are great, but she's already tried to force her way in, been arrested, and it hasn't changed anything in the system. So if she does the same type of thing this year, it reeks of a form of almost like, it's kind of like Facebook activism, in the sense that you have someone follow you with the camera, and the police are going to do what police do, that they're bullies and they're violent, and they're going to arrest her, and they're going to have the photo op that they want, and she's going to come across as so hardcore. But I don't think she needs me to tell her that her getting arrested and being held for questioning for something like 8 hours last time didn't do anything to advance the Green Party agenda. So if she does it again, it feels like an egotistical move, in the sense that it just shows you how hardcore she is. But she's obviously free to do whatever she wants. And at this point, I find it, and she's kind of got infected with that Facebook activism mentality. You and I talked about this either last time or the time before, where it seems like it's less about results and more about likes and shares and so on, because she's coming out making grand statements. Like recently she talked about how if she wins, she'll bring Edward Snowden back and put him in her cabinet. And, obviously she knows she's not going to win. So it's no different than, so I made a joke about it on Facebook where I said, well, following her lead, I'm going to run for president and make incredible promises that I know I'll never be asked to keep. So if you elect me within the first 100 days, I'll put all the fish back in the ocean. I know people got a kick out of that, but it was just as absurd. So I'd have to say that I'm disappointed in how Jill Stein is running this campaign. And when she says stuff like, there's no difference between Trump and Hillary Clinton, and everything we fear Trump will do, Hillary's already done, I have a hard time imagining, believing that she thinks that she believes that she really thinks that everything, like this is a relatively close quote, everything we're afraid Donald Trump will do, Hillary Clinton has already done. And I can't imagine that Jill Stein actually believes that to be true. So it just reeks of this classic social media exhibitionist virtue signaling activism, what passes for activism. And so, I'm all for everyone included in the debates. Like, you know, all that said, yeah, let them be in the debates. A, I don't think they will be. B, I can't see it causing a major change. And at this point, when we have a proto-fascist very, very close to running this country, I don't understand Jill Stein's strategy.
Hmm. One of our guests recently was saying that she felt the events of this election year signal the end of the current two parties, being the exclusive ones, being the ones in power. She's not predicting that a third party candidate is going to win this time or, you know, maybe even make a good showing, but she's saying that the parties are self-destructing, particularly the Republicans.
Well, I mean, I think that's a pretty safe statement, is that the Republican Party is at a major crossroads. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball to say where they're going, but when you hold a Republican convention, and two living Republican presidents, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, don't show up, that's caused the concern. I mean, Hillary Clinton was nominated and, Barack Obama was on the stage, Bill Clinton was on the stage, Jimmy Carter sent a video message because he's in his 90s. The living Democratic presidents seemed very united in supporting their party. So I would say that the Republicans are clearly at a major crossroads. And I'm personally wishing, because I want Trump stopped, I'm personally wishing that the more outrageous he gets, that at some point the Republicans straight up pull all their support from him, just support the lower ticket candidates, and don't fund him, don't do anything to help him, add to the extreme likelihood that he will lose, and then whatever they do with their party, they do. But in the very, very short term, I think the most urgent concern is stopping Trumpism. But in the longer term, I think it would be wonderful if we broke the two-party duopoly, or maybe even monopoly, and had more participatory democracy. But I mean, that people have been saying that for generations. So, without going into like a huge picture, I think we need to not forget the short-term small picture is that
safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living,
medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? Well, squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Americans don't make cars or steel anymore. We make PR. We deal in ideas and fantasy. It's the mother of all wars, and it's all in your head. The new Battle of the Argonne, Normandy, Midway, Guadalcanal, Bull Run. We're done. Custer's last stand. Crisis actors. Crisis marketing. ISIS iced tea. The ISIS mobile and designer Fred Flintstone. Back to the future in the ISIS Al-Qaeda DeLorean. As the ISIS turns. Guiding ISIS. Search for ISIS. One ISIS to live. All my ISIS. Americans don't make cars or steel anymore. We make PR. We deal in ideas and fantasy. It's the mother of all wars, and it's all in your head. The new Battle of the Argonne, Normandy, Midway, Guadalcanal, Bull Run, Verdun, Custer's last stand. At the end of the day, remember that this day was brought to you by Operation Northwoods Spray Deodorant. With Operation Northwoods, the fog hangs in the air long after you're gone. Back a few decades ago, some people in government planned to carry out murders and crash airplanes, have fake news reports to fool the American people into invading Cuba. It didn't happen only because John F. Kennedy, a real president, was in office. But then the ones who liked the idea of Operation Northwoods killed Kennedy. And now we have fake everything. Fake presidents, fake news, fake wars. The killing and dying are real, mostly. It's just that everything else is baloney. Operation Northwoods, it hangs in the air.
And now a word from a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. A brand new Washington, D.C. think tank staffed by American fourth grade students who have questions about the things they were told about America in the third grade. Let's get this straight. We went to the moon 100 years ago, but we never went back. You mean to tell us the types of adults that we all know never went back to put up Moon National Bank with the electric sign that says the moon time and temperature and we support our darn moon troops? They did not want to incorporate moon mining company or moon logging. The really stupid adults we know have not organized moon hunting trips to kill a moon moose, moon elk, moon bear, or moon wildebeest. They have not put moon bunny rabbit heads on their walls. There are no fences in the sky to keep moon men from coming here. Nobody listening to everything the moon people are saying to each other. There are no chemtrails above the moon or Agent Orange devastation, no depleted uranium, no dead moon whales and seas or moon cow slaughterhouses. We did not want to make any moon prisons or moon land or moon world, no moon-assisted living, moon condos, moony golf. There is no moon Rushmore or moon mall. And here's the real kicker. The adults that we know did not want to put up a giant United States military base. Well, we American fourth graders have come to a conclusion about the things we were taught as fact in the third grade. Our conclusions are thus. The very fact that there is no Camp Moon means we never, ever went there at all, and they all lied. Our opinion, what a bunch of crap. Our suggestions, based on our research, do not trust anyone over the age of 9. And now for another episode of Waterboarding Barbara Bush, sponsored by Mr. Bubble. If we are going to torture people who we say we think are terrorists, but we know are not really terrorists because we did 9/11. There are no terrorists, no Al-Qaeda, no reason for war, and really no information we can gain other than to perpetuate the lie, go deeper into the story of the lie, build and embellish the lie fable, then why not also waterboard people who we know are terrorists, who are in fact our terrorists, who helped us to lie a long time ago and overturn our own country. And this terrorist really knows the truth, and what she knows is actually real. One or two or maybe three quick sessions in the Midland Park Mall in Midland, Texas, which are not really such a big deal anyway, right, would change the course of this whole country. Just one little goon afternoon live on national TV during the seventh inning of a Rangers game, it could be a beautiful American experience, something for Ken Burns. The committee to waterboard Barbara Bush, who sat there while her husband worked to murder JFK and while her husband and son worked on the 9/11 project, while her husband invaded Panama and Iraq and thousands, millions died, and she just sat there. She knows more American history than any of us will ever know. We are the committee to waterboard Barbara Bush. It's not really that bad anyway. Endorsed by Alan Dulles, Dick Cheney, George Bush Jr., George Bush Sr., John Yoo, Barack Obama, 2 dental assistants, 4 Walmart produce managers, and millions of folks like you. Sponsored by Mr. Bubble. Gets you so clean, your mother won't know you. And this just in, Mr. Bubble will now also be sponsoring the committee to waterboard Chris Hedges, John Stewart, Amy Goodman, Rachel Maddow, Matthew Rothschild, Stephen Colbert, Ruth Conniff, Eric Alterman, Bill Moyers, Arianna Huffington, Bill Mayer, Gary Trudeau, Michael Moore, Al Franken, Marco Zuniga, Noam Chomsky, and Garrison Keillor. Mr. Bubble wants to know why the liberal so-called radical writers who do not ever mention the obvious scams of 9/11, Boston, and Sandy Hook, and while they think they are radical writers and fighting the good fight, they are either bought and paid for, or they are consciously skirting around the edges of the real issues like frightened water bugs around the swamp, and maybe they should just give up and get construction jobs. Mr. Bubble sees that, and Mr. Bubble is confused. Mr. Bubble wants answers. Mr. Bubble wants the truth. And just wondering out loud, the 28 pages are a ruse, that's true, to divert away from Bush and away from Obama and Clinton and Israel, but if 9/11 was done by Saudi Arabia, why have we been bombing Iraq and Afghanistan for 15 years? Why are our idiot military and their idiot families flying yellow ribbons for 15 freaking years from their front porches and crying over protecting our freedoms in Afghanistan and Iraq? Are we that freaking stupid? Of course, that's a rhetorical question. This program has been in part brought to you by the Iowa Ministry of Fear. If you're not afraid, you're not trying. Look out your window. Goldfinches, used by terrorists. Bird feeders are common drop-off areas for terrorist stuff. Have you seen slow drivers in your neighborhood disguised as old ladies in white, blue, or gray hair, slouched down so low it looks like nobody is driving? Terrorists. Call Walmart before it's too late. Be afraid. Be very afraid. We're your Iowa Ministry of Fear. Also sponsored by a grant from Warm and Fuzzy Smallpox Blankets of Muncie, Indiana. Made in the USA. Good old American know-how. smallpox blankets, drone airplanes, anthrax, and nuclear weapons, bombs, bullets, fighter planes, our products. Welcome to life in 21st century America, where our products are death, destruction, low-paying jobs, and the tossing overboard of the poor, sick, and elderly, all to support the war racket. Made in the USA, making America strong, keeping our neighborhoods strong and our churches strong, our car dealerships strong and our country clubs strong. Warm and fuzzy, smallpox blankets of Muncie. And just in this news, this late-breaking news brief, the House Un-American Activities Committee will be reconvening next week. The committee will be investigating un-American activities such as the murder of children in Iraq and Afghanistan and the restricting of personal freedoms through the so-called Patriot Act, as well as the infiltration of American organizations by members of clandestine Homeland Security terror groups. Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of the Central Intelligence Agency? Appearing next week before the committee will be Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Matt Lauer, Katie Couric, Diane Sawyer, Brian Williams, and Wolf Blitzer. And for what reason, we have no idea. We would also like to shout out to those men and women serving in 10,000 countries and municipalities, islands, peninsulas, knolls, glens, gullies, inlets, deltas, fjords, and firsts overseas, serving in Berlin and Aachen and Baden and Fufen and Mummen und Dürsdorf und Daden und Dasher und Prancer und Donder and Blitzen. We need you. For what reason, we have no idea, but thank you for all you do, and we are pleased to send you 50% of our tax dollars. For what reason, we have no idea, but because you are there and they thank you at ball games and on beer commercials, we thank you for all you do. For what reason, we have no idea. And we are so proud to be sponsored this week by the Minutemen, guarding America's borders from poor people. Our own great-grandparents were poor, and they came here from other places, huddled masses yearning to be free. We are fighting for freedom from poor people, taking aim at frightened lasses crouching by a tree. We urinate on the Statue of Liberty. We defecate on Ellis Island. We've got ours crunched tight in our cold, dead, clammy hands. In just 60 seconds, we are able to desecrate the whole idea of America. We are the Minutemen.
Well, it's been another long week at Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Yes, I suppose you've heard all about it in the news lately. The Moon Rock Lake Weekly Advertiser has been taken over by aliens. Not Pennsylvanians or Hoosiers. It's not a hostile takeover, more of a business thing. Previous owners, Bill and Janice Kiefer, had owned the paper since the 1970s. It was their dream. They'd both been raised in Moon Rock Lake. Went away to study journalism in college at Ohio State. Both worked at the Plain Dealer. Got married. Got the opportunity to buy the Weekly Advertiser. They raised their four children here. It was well known around Moon Rock Lake that the Kiefers always wanted to live in California, but they just never had the time. Well, now they just want to sit on the dock by the bay. Who could blame them? So after they sold the paper, they bought a house in San Francisco. They were out of here in like a week. Kiefers were well known locally and across the state for professionalism, for fighting the good fight, for open meetings, for transparency in government. And looking back at how this worked out, it makes sense that the Kiefers would do this, because sometimes it takes somebody outside the system, in this case the solar system, to give us a fresh perspective on what's right in front of our noses. For many years, Janice wrote her My View from the Back Deck column, in which she talked about whatever she wanted to talk about, which at times included Bigfoot and UFOs. It wasn't that incredible to imagine that she would have some outside sources after all these years, and that when the Kiefers announced they wanted to sell the paper, they might get some, non-local offers. The new owners are from KY4. They're moving to Moon Rock Lake soon, going to buy a house in the newer addition out by the new high school. Well, the new editor, Zorg and Zalga Hagenfaller, got right into it, introduced themselves, and wrote a long editorial in their first edition. Here's part two of their editorial, entitled Conspiracy Theories. We believe that 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, they all know that, yet they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They kill and continue to kill. They allow others to die and continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. What we need in America is a truth commission, like they had in South Africa, to heal their broken country. Our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions. We're not even allowed to ask questions. Those who are supposed to ask questions for us refuse to do so. Can you honestly say that Brian Williams or Matt Lauer or Katie Couric or Amy Goodman or John Stewart or the New York Times or the Minneapolis Star Tribune asks the questions that need to be asked? The United States of America is also supposed to be based on the Constitution. It is not based on the Constitution. The president does not ask anyone before he goes to war, bombing and killing people. It's rather based on those in power being focused like a laser beam, not on truth and social justice and doing the right thing, which is why we voted for them, but rather on doing whatever it takes to remain in power. It's based rather on the shooting of Jack Kennedy from perhaps as many as 6 vantages in Dealey Plaza. That's the big boom theory. In the creation of the country. Before that instant, we had a chance to fight poverty and racism and war, get the truth about whatever. Because before that moment, everything seemed bright and possible, even probable. But after that big boom, the dust bowl clouds of power and greed and violence came out and blotted the sun. The United States of America is not based on the Constitution or the teachings of Jesus as we proclaim that it is. It's based on the collaboration of the U.S. Army, FBI, CIA, and Memphis police to murder Martin Luther King. It's also based in the shooting of Robert Kennedy from behind his right ear rather than from the front where Sirhan Sirhan was standing. We do not make cars anymore in America, but we do psyops, like the Greeks and Romans did philosophy, astronomy, and speeches and literature. These great misdeeds are where we honed our master craft, where those who rule founded this country, where our gears, our tool, and die were cast. Forget about the Liberty Bell. Forget about Mount Rushmore. Forget about the Grand Canyon. They're as much window dressing as CNN or NBC News or National Public Radio. The Lorraine Motel in Memphis is our true Plymouth Rock. Dallas Dealey Plaza is our real Mount Rushmore. The Ambassador Hotel Pantry is our actual Grand Canyon. Waco is our Arlington Cemetery. Oklahoma City is our Yellowstone Park. The woods near Eveleth, Minnesota, where Paul Wellstone's plane went down, is our National Mall. The great city sprawls with people, some smartly dressed, many of them shabby, a few beautiful, but most not. All reduced by the towering structures around them to the size of insects, but scuttling, hurrying, intent on the milky morning sun upon some plan or scheme or hope they are hugging to themselves, their reason for living another day, each one of them impaled live upon the pin of consciousness, fixed upon self-advancement and self-preservation. That, and only that. It's by John Updike in The Terrorist. It's perhaps the human condition. Forced to find a reason for living another day, impaled live upon the pin of consciousness to become fixed upon self-advancement and self-preservation. But the human condition also means knowing when there is something wrong, something not quite right, and having the spirit to refuse to live like that, to live within a lie. That's why so many people have worked for so long, for 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years against all sorts of obstacles to find the truth, to make this the country and we the people we always assumed we were. Common people, educated people who have set this puzzle down, spread it out and began working on it for years and years. Fighting the power from their little kitchen table in the middle of the night with one little light on. New people drift in the door and take their place. They're not afraid. We take courage from their example. We also cannot be afraid. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions we have. There are no wrong questions. No hidden black military budget. No UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. Lied right to our faces on national television when he said Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea and Jessica Lynch rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into the hole. No, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those are not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. The killers are right here with us. And they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us tonight as we wrap up this episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. Remember, we're broadcasting live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Head on over there, give them a donation, and hey. Maybe get some of that fudge. That sounded good. Thanks to all our guests. And thank you, Mike, and good night.
Yes, thanks to our guests, Abba, Mickey, Frank, Phil. Show archives are available at newdream.us. And as always, we apologize for our mistakes and plan to make fewer mistakes next week. If you would like to send a donation to the Des Moines Catholic Worker with Frank Cordero or get on the mailing list for their newspaper via Paches, Beapacis, P-A-C-I-S, the Way of Peace. Contact the Berrigan Catholic Worker House, Phil Berrigan Catholic Worker House. I'll get this, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so good night to my friends Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us. Only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Good night, everyone.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
I'm... When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station.